hello everybody and welcome to Basic Gospels. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, well, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live and we want to hear from you. We've got the lines wide open right now for you at 844-322-2742. If you live in the U.S. or Canada, that's the number, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. As we start today's broadcast, I want to share a great little comment that came in yesterday from Mark. He wrote to us, "I was searching so hard to find the meaning of salvation and what it meant to be saved." You know, that's a big question that's out there.
Indeed.
You know, if we can be saved, what does that look like? What does it mean? Well, that was Mark's question. And so he was dialing around the radio one day on the way home from work and found our broadcast. Mm-hmm. And he says, "I heard you talk about salvation and that all our sins and future sins were forgiven once and for all time." Mm-hmm. And we talk about that all the time.
Yes,
the fact that Jesus, when he offered his shed blood on the cross, he dealt with sin in its entirety, with not just some sins, but all sins. And not only for our sins, but the sins of the entire world. So that was a big sacrifice, a big offering that he made, and it was big enough to take away every single sin. And when we receive him, we receive that forgiveness in total, not just doled out day after day after day, but he gives it to us all at one time when we receive the Lord. So he said, "I finally understood what it all meant, and it has changed my life forever. And I thank God for your ministry." So I want to extend a special note of thanks to our donors who support this broadcast. You're the ones that help make stories like this possible. You're the one that provide the infrastructure, the platform that can connect people like Mark who are searching for answers with truth.
Yes.
And that connection is so powerful. So I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart, and I know all of us want to extend that same note of gratitude to you for the support that you give, for being a part of Basic Gospel Nation each and every month. And it's just exciting to see stories like this.
Yes,
so,
indeed.
Mark, thank you for sharing. Mm-hmm. We're glad that we were there to provide the answer that you were looking for, and we're thankful that you are alive in Christ and know that you are totally forgiven.
Yes.
That is liberating, as you said, Mark. That is life-changing. And it really gets back to our subject matter for the month, the new covenant. Yesterday, we read a passage out of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to go back there. We're going to take a little different slant. And it says this in verse 12, "Since we have such a hope, we are very bold." So this good news of Jesus Christ gives us hope. What is that hope? That we have life everlasting. We experience it here, and we know that one day we're going to get resurrected bodies, that mortality is going to be replaced with immortality.
Yes.
We're going to receive a body just like Jesus did when he was raised from the dead. That's our great hope. So since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We can just go out and tell the world about Jesus and offer that life that he is offering to them. And when they receive, we watch them come alive in Christ Jesus. Now, in contrast, Paul says we're bold, but not like Moses. Moses wasn't bold. He was timid from the very moment God laid hands on him and said, "I want you to go and lead my people out of Egypt." And he hemmed and hawed, and, "Lord, I stutter, and I'm not the guy." He didn't have a lot of confidence. And there's a reason for that, and it's something that we very seldom really look at. And it's something that the writer of Hebrews records for us in the third chapter. Now, in the book of Hebrews, we see a lot of contrast being made. So the writer puts Jesus up there and takes everything from Judaism that's important, that's of value. And he says, how does it compare to Jesus? Mm-hmm. Well, everything loses by a mile. Jesus is far superior. He's better in every way. Well, Moses is the guy as far as Judaism is concerned.
Sure.
I mean, he was the prophet. He's the one that they hold up as the guy. And here's what the writer of Hebrews says about Moses. Now, Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant. Well, a servant isn't going to have much boldness. He's not going to assert himself. He's only going to do what the owner of the house asks him to do. And that's exactly what Moses did. So what did he do? He was faithful to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. So Moses knew that he was serving someone else, that he was serving people who would not be servants in the house, but who would be children, who would be owners, heirs within the house. That's you and me.
Yes.
So Moses served up the dish that we get to enjoy. And what was that? Well, back in Exodus 33, he's having this conversation with God, and he says, who's going to go with us? God's given the law. The people have violated. They've built the golden calf. God said, I'm just done with you. Moses has this conversation, and he says, well, who's going to go with us? And so God said, well, my presence will go with you. And Moses said, well, how else would we be distinguished as a people? How else would we know that we had found favor with you apart from your presence? So what was the dish that Moses was serving up for us? Well, it's this great truth that God is now always with us. We are never outside of his presence. He is always in us. As Paul said in Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we just circle back. Who's our hope? Jesus Christ himself. Who are we? We are his brother. We are children of God the Father. That makes us somebody.
Yes.
And Moses was serving us and telling us about the wonders of this new covenant that we were going to experience by faith in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. He had the presence of God going with him and the people, but God's presence would come and go. With us, we are always in God's favor. Why? Because God's presence is always with us in the person of Jesus Christ. Christ in us, our hope of glory.
What good news that is, friends. I hope you're absorbing it here at Basic Gospel. And friends, speaking of the new covenant, we have something special for you. A gift to support Basic Gospel this month will bring 5 copies of our CD, We Are New Covenant, so that you can put the good news of the gospel directly into the hands of those you love and care about. Without question, the gospel is the most important message this world will ever hear. And with 5 copies of this vital message, you'll have a great way to get it directly into the hands of those closest to you. So join us, friends, by donating at basicgospel.net or by using the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. And of course, in Canada, as always, you can go to basicgospel.net/Canada and click that donate button right there. Help us get this message out far and wide, friends. Request your 5 copies of We Are New Covenant when you make your gift before the end of this month. Well, right now, open lines for you at 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you. Give us a call.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Marietta, Georgia, my hometown. And talk to Don, listening to us on WDWD. Hi, Don.
Hey, guys. I tell you, this is so ironic. The word I was calling about that I wanted you to kind of elaborate on, the word hope that we use in our English vernacular, typically, I think, carries the meaning of wishful thinking. And I was going to quote Colossians 1:29, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and get you guys to maybe elaborate a little bit more on it. I've heard bits and pieces, but I'd like to hear it straight from the horse's mouth. Doesn't the biblical use of the word hope carry a lot stronger connotation than what we typically think of it as in wishful thinking? Can you elaborate on that?
Oh, absolutely, Don, and that's a great question. And the word hope, as far as the Bible is concerned, is a word of certainty. It's not like the kid who says, I hope I get a bicycle for Christmas, but they're not sure if they'll get one or not. and they're going to be surprised on Christmas Day. But this word hope that we have is a word of certainty. So it's something that we desire, and with that comes a certainty that it's going to be delivered to us. So based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our hope is sure. We know that one day we're going to get resurrected bodies. We know that one day we're going to be absent from this body and present with the Lord. What guarantees that? The very presence of Christ in us right now. So our hope is a certainty. When we see the hope of the gospel, that is rock solid. That is truth. That is just a statement of fact that's going to happen at some point in the future. And if we'll get that straight, then everything else kind of falls into place, doesn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it does. And it takes so much pressure off. Because of Jesus, our hope is guaranteed. Because our hope is guaranteed, we can stop and say, I don't have to do anything to earn what's coming. It's coming. It's not here yet, but it's coming. It's guaranteed. Jesus guarantees it. It does change everything. I mean, it gives us the chance to live in the moment, step by step,
yes,
breath by breath, with the indwelling Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we'd always be going, well, I don't know. I mean, we are absolutely certain, though.
Right. So the writer of Hebrews calls this hope the anchor for our soul.
Yes.
John, in his letter, his first letter, says he who has this hope purifies himself. Mm-hmm. So it's something that shapes our thinking and how we live here and now.
Yes.
You know, if I know I'm guaranteed an inheritance, an eternal inheritance, and I know that. The Bible says that Jesus' shed blood on the cross has guaranteed it. If I know that I'm going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord, then that truth, that hope, shapes how I live today as a child of God. So it's a very important reality, and it's something that God's Spirit puts inside of us, isn't it?
Yeah.
So there's this internal hope that we have that's tied to Christ Jesus himself.
Yeah.
So, Don, thanks for the question.
Yeah, and think about it. When you do mess up, it's the Spirit inside that says, no, you haven't lost hope.
Yes.
You just messed up. And we'll continue learning together and work through this.
Makes it very simple, very easy.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Well, it is Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us, everybody. Open lines for you right now, 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Interesting question from YouTube viewer K. There's a big gap between my being angry with someone and then remembering to forgive them. I wish I had the desire you speak of to do so right away, but I don't. Is there a quicker way to forgive?
Well, that's an
interesting question.
If you find one, let me know.
Yeah. Well, I think what she's talking about what Kay is really asking about is when is that feeling of forgiveness going to come?
Yeah.
And if we wait for that, we'll never go and forgive someone.
No.
Why? Because we have the details of what that person did to us circulating through these minds of ours. And as we dwell on that, as we think about that, that's going to direct how we feel. So the Bible says, go to that person. So if you're going to follow what the Bible says, go to that person. Now, here's what's going to happen when you go to that person. Because you're in Christ and Christ is in you, what's going to start bubbling up inside of you is this ministry of reconciliation, that you want to be reconciled to this person. Now, where does that come from? Well, it comes from Christ himself. So what he's asking us to do is to simply go. And as we go, to trust him to do his work in and through us. And then those feelings of forgiveness will follow suit.
Yes.
So don't wait for a feeling. If you know somebody's wronged you, go to that person. I mean, they may be feeling guilty. They may be feeling all sorts of things. But go to that person. And as you go, go in dependence upon the Holy Spirit to do something inside of you. He will. Mm-hmm. Why? Because he's there. And as I said, you will see that that ministry of reconciliation starting to bubble up to a point where it will just overwhelm you. That's why we see time and time and time and time again in the Word of God that we need to be in each other's company. We need to be in each other's presence. Why? Because that's when we get to see the fullness of God's love in action.
Yes.
I mean, I can understand that God loves me in the quietness of my room at home, all solitary there. Mm-hmm. But to see love in action, I need to be face-to-face with the person. And that's why the Bible says go. So don't wait for the feeling. Simply go and allow God's Spirit to do His work in that situation.
Yeah, this ties right back into the conversation we just had regarding hope. A pastor I know described hope as our guaranteed future and described faith as hope in this moment. So because I know who I am as a child of God and my guaranteed future, then when the Spirit says, go offer forgiveness and reconciliation to this person, by faith, because of the guaranteed future, I can do that regardless of the outcome. See, we're always worried about outcomes.
Yes.
Don't be worried about outcomes. Just follow what the Spirit says to do, and He'll give you the words and the emotions, like you said,
yes,
will follow
absolutely.
Suit.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, Kay, thanks for writing to us.
Yes, indeed. And one of the resources that underscores the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the hope that we have in Him is Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And we can't recommend it highly enough. We encourage you to go online to basicgospel.net. There's a prominent link right at the top of the homepage, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace by Bob Christopher. We encourage you to go there now, if at all possible. Well, a YouTube question from viewer Robert concerning Romans 8:11. He says, I still have trouble with Romans 8:11, if the Spirit of God lives in you. I struggle with this if all the time. And that's the question from Robert, who wrote to us through YouTube.
Well, here's what the verse says. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So this is a verse of hope. So this is saying that if you are a born again child of God, that you've been made alive together with Christ, then indeed the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus lives in you, and that's your guarantee that life is going to be given to these mortal bodies of yours. That immortality is going to take over. It's going to take over the mortality. The incorruptible is going to take over the corruptible. We're going to get new resurrected bodies. So he's just making a statement. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then this is
it's guaranteed.
This is guaranteed.
Yeah.
So he knew that some that would read this would say, well, I've never accepted Christ. The Spirit of God doesn't live in me. Well, there's an answer to that. Well, here's how He can come to live in you.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ died to take away your sins. Jesus Christ was buried, bringing the law of sin and death to an end. And He was raised so that you can have life everlasting. And if you will simply confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, then you'll be saved. You'll be made alive together with Christ, and God's Spirit will come to live inside of you, and God's Spirit will bear witness with your human spirit that you belong to Christ, that you truly are a child of God, and you will cry out from the very depths of who you are, Abba, Father. That's the confirmation. So if you're crying out, Abba, Father, there's a reason. God's Spirit is there. And since God's Spirit is there, then this hope is guaranteed for you. Your mortal body is going to put on immortality.
Yeah.
Your corruptible body is going to put on the incorruptible. That is the promise. That is the hope. That is the guarantee that God gives to each and every one of us. And when God promises, He delivers.
Mm-hmm.
There has never been an exception to that, and there never will ever be an exception to that. So if He's promised that you will have a resurrected body, guess what? You're going to get a resurrected body when the Lord comes back.
Yes, indeed.
That's good news.
That's good news. And Robert, thank you for posing the question to us here at Basic Gospel. Bob, I know you're excited about the upcoming trip to Israel. We're, well, just over 2 months away right now. So talk to us a little bit more about that. We did that yesterday, but I want to continue.
We did. We did. And I just love talking about Israel. Yeah. I love going to Israel. I love taking groups to see Israel. It's a surprising place. I mean, there's a lot that's unexpected, yeah. Just the sheer beauty mm-hmm. of the country. When Princess Di passed away, that tragic death, all the flowers that were there at her funeral came from Israel. Mm. And they just have a way of producing unbelievable, beautiful flowers and vegetation out yeah. of that barren land. They're masters at that. So you're surprised by the beauty. And then you just get overwhelmed at being in the places where things happen.
Yes.
So when we go to Caesarea by the sea, it's the place where the door of the gospel was unlocked for Gentiles to come in and to receive the good news of Jesus Christ. And if you're there as a Gentile, just that reality washes over you and just overwhelms you to say, I can't believe, Lord, you've included me in this good news. And then when we go to Jerusalem, oh my goodness.
that just, view from the top of Mount Scopus is just
the first
awesome.
Time you see it, it's home. I mean, you feel like home, but it's just a shadow of the new Jerusalem mm-hmm. that's going to come mm-hmm. down. But there's something that you just sense about being there. And you look down and you look at where Jesus bled and died.
Yeah.
You look at where your redemption was purchased. You look at where resurrection first occurred when Jesus put on, as far as his body was concerned, the immortal.
Mm-hmm, right.
And it's just overwhelming. And just to be there. And then when you go and read your Bible again, it's like, oh, my gosh. it becomes even more nuanced and layered and deeper than you ever imagined. So if you would want to go, we've got a really great group of people that are joining us on this trip. It will be an intimate tour. You will be blessed out of your socks. I guarantee it. Come join us. All the information on how to do that is on our website, right at the top of the homepage. Just click the banner about Israel. Find out all the details right there. We would love to have you.
I knew you would have something to say.
Yes.
Just a little.
Yeah. Hebrews 7:25, guys. This is a question from Corey. He wrote to us through the Basic Gospel app. What is the full meaning of Hebrews 7:25? Jesus always lives to make intercession for us.
He always lives to make intercession for us? Well, because he's always alive. I mean, he is forever alive. He is a priest forever. So he's always working on our behalf. It's a great message, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And who's the one that's making this necessary? Satan's always yelling and screaming, well, Richard did this, he doesn't. Yeah. Jesus says, I took care of it. It's done. It's over. He belongs
right.
to me.
So he's serving us. A lot yes. of people look at that and think, oh, God's mad at us.
No.
So Jesus has to intercede and make God happy with us again. Mm-hmm. But that's not the case. God so loved that he sent Jesus. So Jesus is working for us.
Yes.
He is our priest, our high priest. And so since he is the priest forever, he always lives to intercede on our behalf.
Yes.
Thanks, Corey. Appreciate hearing from you. Friends, we invite you to join us to help get this message out far and wide. That's why we're offering 5 copies of our CD, We Are New Covenant, when you make your March gift to Basic Gospel. One of the best ways we know to help you, our supporters, get the message out is by sending you these 5 copies, and you can put them straight into the hands of those closest to you. So make your March gift at BasicGospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. And, of course, in Canada, you can go to BasicGospel.net/Canada. And when you do, be sure to request your 5 copies of We Are New Covenant. Help us get this message out far and wide. A reminder, too, that the listener line is always open for any question you might have. That number, as always, 844-322-2742. Call anytime, day, night, weekend, it doesn't matter. Anytime, that line is open. 844-322-2742. Or you can email your question to bob@basicgospel.net. Either way is a great way to get that question to us, and we'd love to hear from you. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow, same time, same station, for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.